Come to Close It Now,
the podcast that's revolutionizing the HVAC and home improvement trades industries. Get ready to dive deep into the world of heating, ventilation, and air conditioning. We're turning up the heat on industry standards and cooling down misconceptions. And we're not just talking about fixing vents and adjusting thermostats. It's about the transformative movement that's reshaping the very foundation of HVAC and home improvement. We're the driving force inspiring top performers who crave excellence, not only in their professional endeavors, but also in fitness, nutrition, relationships, and personal growth. Proving that we can indeed have it all.
This is Close It Now, where excellence meets excitement. Let's get to work. Now your host, Sam Wakefield.
Well, all right. Welcome back to Close It Now. Sam Wakefield here, and I am so excited to have this guest on. You know the company, and if you don't, you will know the company. And we had the privilege to meet each other back in January up in Minneapolis at the HVAC Summit event that Tim Brown put on at Hook Agency. I heard this gentleman speak, and it was so cool to get to know Ryan and his brother Blake. So this is Ryan Finn with Chirp. That's with two I's, C-H-I-I-R-P. And he is our guest today. This is Ryan. He is the CEO and founder of Chirp. And so we're excited to have you in as the guest on the show today, man. Welcome.
Sam, thanks so much for having me. Excited for the conversation.
Heck yeah, man. Well, we always like to start this, when I have guests on, we always like to start with a little bit of, so it's a two-part question. Give us a little bit of highlight reel. How'd you get here? What was your big turning point? Why did you start the company? And give us some of your journey. But also, interweave, the big part of the question is, what is a driving force? What is your, more importantly, what is a mission or vision statement for you? What is really your true heart in the way that you do the things you do? Because it's more than, with Close It Now, it's more than just the stuff. It's what is the heart behind it? What is our mission? You know, we're starting a movement here and to up-level the trades in a lot of different ways. So I'd love to hear your vision for how this is really helping people differently than just sell more stuff. Because sell more stuff is cool, but what's the big mission here?
Yeah, cool. Well, yeah, I'll share a bit of my story as far as how Chirp came to be. I've always been entrepreneurial, even as a kid. I was the kid selling sour gumballs to the kids. You know, I was always hustling, trying to make a dollar, I didn't finish high school. I just wanted to get out, and I don't know. There was something about school that made me just go, you know what? I want to go out and figure this out on my own. Mm-hmm. And there was like a chip on my shoulder. Maybe I was like, if I go to college and I'm successful, they will attribute that to me going to college. I was like, I want it to be because of me. It's a weird thing, but I just didn't want that. I wanted to show that I could do it without it. So,
sure.
So here I am. In my 20s, I kind of bounced around, you know, figuring stuff out. I'm now 42, but in my 20s, you know, figuring things out, trying to, you know, work at different sales jobs and different things. And when my first son was born, in my later 20s, that's when things, you know, got serious, right? Because it was like, okay, now you have a wife and a kid to feed. It's no longer about you. And I started my first, what I would consider my first successful business. I fixed windshields, so windshield chip repair. Mm-hmm. I actually saw somebody doing it at a car wash. I worked for him for a little while, and I found out that he was doing fraudulent insurance claims, and so I had to quit working for him. I wasn't gonna work for a guy that was dishonest, and so I had saved up enough to buy a kit, like a windshield repair kit. Mm-hmm. And I started going door to door selling windshield repair. And I was able to feed my family that way. And then one day I saw some guys doing it out of a gas station. And I thought, man, a lot of cars go into a gas station every day. I'll bet that's a good lead source. And so what I did is I kind of had the idea of bringing back like that old school. If you remember, like in the old movies, like when somebody pulls into a car wash or service station, like the people come running out and like they fill up the tires and they wash the windshield,
Yeah,
like
full service
check the oil
stations.
and all that. Yeah, full service stations. Yeah. So I tried to kind of bring that back where I wasn't doing all that stuff, but I would wash the windshields. So they'd come in and I'd say, "Thanks for coming in today. As a courtesy, we're washing windshields." And we'd wash the windshield. And then, of course, while I'm washing the windshield, I'm looking for chips in the glass. And if I can find a chip, I'm going to say, "Hey, that's going to spread. You're going to have to replace the whole windshield. If you take 10 minutes right now, I can fix it for you and you won't have to replace the whole windshield." And, that was like that little pitch right there was like the ultimate, that's what really started me off on a successful path because
Sure. Yeah, sounds like a
we were able
great
to do,
gold conversion conversation.
yeah, we were able to get, there were days we'd do $1,000 out of a gas station, and, we were then in multiple gas stations. Then we got into some dealerships. Some dealerships saw what we were doing and they said, "Hey, why don't you come do it out of our service drive?" So as people are coming in for oil changes, that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
And
you do
then
it while
next thing
you're
you know,
here.
yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's exactly right. "Hey, you're getting your oil changed. While it's getting changed, we'll fix your windshield." We got to like nine locations and it was going really great. And I had the idea. I'd always liked the idea of digital marketing. I always messed around with digital marketing. I wanted to scale bigger. I wanted to, every step of the way, it's like, what can I do that's bigger? What can I do bigger and bigger? Which
Yeah.
is a flaw. It's a flaw and a curse at times. There's times where I'm like, now today, I'm still like, okay, oh, we're not there yet. And it's like, geez, when are we ever going to get there? But anyways, so I had this idea to create a course because that's like if you remember back in 2014, 2015, this is when Russell Brunson was starting to get popular. Courses were becoming kind of a thing, and I was like, I could teach people how to start their own windshield repair business. I could teach them how to get a gas station, how to make, how to do the insurance claims honestly and ethically, and all this
Yeah,
stuff.
one funnel away
And
challenge.
yeah, exactly. And it this was actually before the one funnel away. It was just when things were just starting to heat up on online courses. And so I built a funnel. I built a Facebook. I did a Facebook ad and I started getting leads to come in. And then as the leads would come in, I would text them and I'd say, "Hey, thanks for checking out." It was called GlassPoint. "Thanks for checking out GlassPoint. Here's a video that I did that explains the opportunity." And what I did is I did a 45-minute pitch basically explaining the opportunity. And I put that on a video and I would send that to the lead the moment that they submitted their information. That one 45-minute video and me sending it through text message made me like $2 million selling that course. So I did a 40, so a 45-minute pitch. I used it over and over and over and over again to sell my product. And that was awesome. And what I would do is if the leads didn't convert right away, I would follow up with text messages.
Sure.
And I'd say, "Hey, like, would you like to learn more here?" I'd send out testimonial videos and different things. And I was piecing together different softwares to make this kind of this flow, post lead flow, right? And so I could generate the lead, but the conversion was a hard, really hard part of it. How do I convert these leads into deals? And I found that if I contacted the leads very quickly and I followed up consistently, I would be profitable. And so I made a whole bunch of money selling that course. And then that's when I was like, well, if this works for me, naturally, let's go bigger, bigger, bigger. And that's when I got the idea for Chirp, how to start and grow, or that's windshield repair business. And then I took that and automated follow-up for businesses. And I put together Chirp. I got a partner involved who's an engineer to build the software. I'm not a software, I'm not an engineer. I just had a vision of what it needed to be, and then he did the programming in the background. And we built this software, and we would sell this to anybody and everybody that sold something, right? It was like real estate agents, even restaurants, food trucks, insurance agents, MLM people, home service business, like all these different people were buying it, but I wasn't getting traction. It was like 2 or 3 years of like trying to figure out who would benefit the most from this and who would stick around the longest? Because, you know, in businesses, you know, software and automation, it's like if you're not ready for it, it's not going to do much for you until you're getting enough leads and enough flow that it's actually you can't do it manually.
Sure.
And so it wasn't until we discovered home services and we had some home service guys using it that it really took off. So we were hovering in that like $20,000 to $30,000 a month recurring revenue range. And then, you know, home services come along and they go, hey, what if you integrated with Service Titan? What if you integrated with House Call Pro? What if you integrated with Jabber? And we started to look at these various functionalities and it was like, dang, okay, there's an opportunity here. And we built these really great automations, these really great integrations. And that's when we really took off. We went from 20,000 a month to about 100,000 a month on my own. I was selling it during COVID through my bedroom, selling it, you know, and, sure. And then
can't go anywhere else. You might as well be doing this.
Right. Right. Then I hired, you know, the right people and got people to replace me in the business. And now we're, you know, pushing 10 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's been a wild, wild ride. So, but that's the kind of the journey, from my late 20s till now. It's the last, I'd say the last 15 years I just covered. Obviously there's a lot more to it, but those are the highlights. Your other question, was what drives me, right? What are the core?
What's a guiding your North Star? What's the really the big driving factor for you, outside you of the business? What's the inspiration?
It's a really good question, and it's something I've had to discover over the last, I would say, 20 years, because initially I knew I wanted to be a successful entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
And my immature mind went to, because I like fast cars. I want to be rich,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that was, it was almost like I was responding to an internal like drive. So the drive was there, be an entrepreneur. And mm-hmm. I was almost responding going, because I want to be rich. And over the last 20 years, that has largely transformed into something much deeper, where, you know, I've always been a religious person. I love God, and I see God as the ultimate creator.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that as children of God, if it makes sense that we are his children, then like I look at my kids, I have four kids, and I want to raise them up to be really good members of society, really good people, you know, but most importantly, I want them to find success, and not success monetarily, success in what drives them and what makes them happy. And I believe that that is an innate thing, that we are meant to be creators,
mm-hmm.
As children of the ultimate creator. And so, in order for me to attempt to glorify God, I want to do my best to take the time that I have here to create things that make people's lives better.
Yeah.
That make humanity better, or make, you know, anything that I can do to use the brain that was given me that says, hey, you're creative, you can do these things, create. Because I find that if I'm not creating, and it kind of scary sometimes thinking about, because sometimes you kind of feel like there's no end in sight, where you're just like, hey, cool, I've created this great business that's doing really well. Can I just be done on the beach? Can I just go to the beach and like chill out? And it's like, no. Because you'll do that for like a week and you'll be like, okay, what's next, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, that the deeper core like drive motivator is, I want to take the time that I have here to create and to mm-hmm. do the most that I can with the brain that I've been given, and the I say brain and heart as mm-hmm. one, you know, thing. So
I love it, man. Great. Thanks for opening up and sharing some of that. It's really powerful to when we understand, especially when when we grow. So lots of course, there's a huge community that listen to the show. You know, lots of people that don't have kids yet that plan to, plenty of family mothers and fathers listening, and that's a huge driver. You know, and I did a 4-part series recently called Roots and Wings, which is how to raise anti-fragile kids, which was a really powerful, group of episodes. And so I totally get that. We can make a bigger impact and use our, our kids. The biggest success for parents is when your kids do better than you.
It's right.
Like start on the shoulders of giants and let me help you and show you. So, man, I love that. That's great. Let's rewind back a little bit, because I'm curious to know, there's some foundational stuff that, follow up and that type of thing, we've recognized as the biggest low hang, especially in home services. You step out of home services and follow up is a missing piece, but there's a lot of, it's a common understanding that, and there's plenty of sequence for follow-up in other industries, but you get in home services and people just, for the most part, don't follow up. Everybody knows we should, but we don't have a path to do it. We don't have a means to do it. We don't have a nice, simple way to automate it. So I'd love to hear your perspective on just the importance of follow-up to start with. Before we, of course we want to cover, what Chirp does and some of the more details of that. But let's start with some foundations here. Talk about some, maybe some statistics or just some of the reasons and some of the follow-up concepts that should be covered and understood before we even talk about doing it. Why is it important?
So as with all things worth anything, they don't come easy. Follow-up is, we've all heard it a million times, the fortune is in the follow-up, right? And the reason that the fortune is there is because it's difficult. Like, there's never, like, gold in the ground is hard to get out of the ground. And that's why it's valuable. The reason that follow-up is valuable is because it is difficult to do. And if everybody did it, then it would become less valuable, and then we'd have to move on to the next thing, because everything separates the good from the bad, right? Or like the most driven are the ones that are always going to be the ones that rise above, right? So follow-up is the reason it's so difficult for a company. We all know it, we got to do it, but it's difficult because it naturally goes against what sales guys are good at. So good sales guys love action. They love being, they're outgoing. They need to have conversations every day, and they need to close deals now. Close it now, right? And if they go a certain amount of time without closing deals, you start, I mean, these are emotionally unstable people that, if they're not getting fed, right, they become hangry, right?
100%. Was it Zig Ziglar used to say, the mark of a poor salesman is skinny kids?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there you go. So, follow-up is naturally really boring for salespeople because it's mundane, it's monotonous, and it's generally doing it manually doesn't produce the level you need on the front end to close enough to make your business successful, because it takes a lot of manpower to do it successfully. And so you get a sales guy who's just like, nope, just give me the hot leads, give me the good leads, I want to close deals. And you take your best sales guys and you feed them those hot leads and you close deals and you're profitable, but all these leads that don't close right away are just going into, they're just being wasted. Because we're just not reaching back out. And there are so many people who are willing to buy, just not right now, just not today. And it could be for a million different reasons. The thing we have to always remember as salespeople is our job is sales. And so that's what's on our mind all day, every day. If you're a HVAC guy, HVAC closer. That's all you're thinking about is HVAC, right? But if you're a mom whose air conditioner isn't working perfectly right now, that's one of a million things that you're dealing with, right? You're dealing with your kids being crazy. You're dealing with, you know, something else in the house that's broken. You're dealing with your car. You know, you just broke your windshield or whatever. You have a million things, and you're thinking about HVAC for 2 seconds, right, out of the day. And so you got this really anxious, crazy driven sales guy trying to close you. And she's going, dude, I need to do it, but I've got taxes I got to do. I got all this stuff. And had you just consistently followed up, you would have caught her at the right time when she's in the right frame of mind. And you go, cool, we can get this done and close the deal.
Right.
And so all these leads are just falling through the cracks. Because you're on the front end you're making enough money on the hot leads that you don't bother with these. And now here's the problem is as more and more people get into home services, more and more people get into Google Ads and all stuff, people with a lot of money, a lot of firepower can spend a lot more money on a lead because they have systems in place to convert at the highest level. And you've heard Gary Vaynerchuk say, he who can spend the most to get a customer wins, right?
Absolutely.
Because if I can spend $100 to get a lead, but you can only afford 50, who do you think Google is going to favor, right?
Of course. Yeah, and they're going to take the bigger amount.
Exactly.
More
exactly.
Zeros.
And so the only way you have two options. You can say, okay, I can spend more on marketing and just get more leads that way, or I can refine my follow-up and convert at the highest level. And if I can convert at the highest level, I can spend the most, therefore get the most leads, therefore scale my business. And so follow up, it'll shock you if you don't know, but it's an average. There's different studies with different answers, but let's say all the studies say anywhere between 8 and 18 follow-ups to close at the highest level. And this doesn't mean that you pick up the phone and call 18 times. This is 18 touch points, whether that's
different modalities.
You've heard the term multimedia. They saw you on Facebook. They submitted their information. Okay. You've started the customer journey. They don't close. You send them a text message. They don't close. They see your billboard. Now your mind's that's a touch point, right? They get an email. They get another text message. They get a voicemail. They get a neighbor saying, oh, I use them. And it's these various touch points that eventually drive conversion. And so people will say this all the time. They'll be like, oh, I tried that. I tried Facebook leads, or I tried Angie leads. They suck. And you go, yeah, but that company over there, they don't think they suck. They're closing exactly. all kinds of deals. And you go, what are they doing different? And you go, oh, it's their conversion process. It's not the lead that sucks. It's actually you that sucks. And so you've got somebody raising their hand saying, hey, I need services. What's keeping you from being able to close that deal? And it's usually effective follow-up.
I love this. You know, there's a concept that I trained that I learned quite several years ago, actually over in the solar world for a while. And it's the awareness curve. This is one of the things that I've always talked about is if you don't follow up, then what you've done is you've effectively educated your homeowners to the point where they're ready to make a decision, but you just weren't there to catch it and somebody else comes in. And that's why a lot of times we get once it closes, not because we did such a good job on our appointment, it's because somebody else did and set them up for us. So this curve is like the early adopter to late adopter curve. It's a spectrum. You've got this tiny group of people that, you know, they see a couple pieces of information and they're ready to buy. And the other end of the spectrum is these homeowners or people who they need to see, you know, read 5 books, watch an entire miniseries, and read 25 testimonies before they're ready to buy. And so we have to educate, like, where is their place in that spectrum? And then the second we pass that point of no return, now they're ready. And at that point, it doesn't necessarily matter who it is. Somebody's going to capture that.
It's the same reason that marketing and sales within an organization often butt heads because the sales guy will be like, I'm closing all these deals. I'm the best closer. I'm the baddest dude, you know? And the marketer's going, dude, I'm teeing up the hottest, best leads. I'm getting them right to the finish line. And you're just an order taker. You're just taking them over that last line. Same reason. And it's like that can cause other issues. But I did a video recently. At the end of the video says, your leads are going to convert, whether it's with you or somebody else, whether it's with you or your competition. So it's like, dude, your leads, they're going to buy at some point. You need to make sure that you're the one. And if you are top of mind, like, think about it. If they submit their information, let's use Angie as an example. They submit their information. That lead goes to five contractors. And so it's like there are literally leads that we'll see that they'll say, I'm only going to do business with the guy that follows up with me. Like, there are guys that have that mentality. They want to see that you're hungry for the business.
You do the work.
And so you submit that information and you have five people. You got the guy that follows up consistently for 5 days. He goes, that's the guy that's obviously hungry for my business. I'm going to go with him. Mm-hmm. And so obviously not everybody's going to be like that, but those are people. That's an example of people that are out there that are like that. And you have to, so it's like, if I want to get him, I have to follow up. Mm-hmm. So it still goes back to that whole, man, I just don't want to do that. And that's where the automation comes in. It's like, sure. I say to people, look, you can fight with your sales guys all day long and say, follow up more, follow up more, follow up more, follow up more. And they're never really going to do it that well. They'll do it well for a while just to get you to shut up, but they'll always revert back to, I just want the hot leads. I just want to close deals. Mm-hmm. So what I say is,
give
I go,
the Glengarry leads.
Give me the Glengarry leads. Yep. I say, why don't, instead of you fighting with your sales guys constantly, why don't you just pull that part off their plate? Let's give them the hot leads. Let's make sure that they are happy. And then let's systematize the follow-up. So you know it's getting done. You bought the leads. You're the owner of the business. You're paying for the marketing. Mm-hmm. Don't leave it up to them.
Yeah. Stop. What is it? What was the expression? Stop letting the inmates run the asylum.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Take it off their plate. You make sure it's happening, and then tee up those hot leads. And then, yeah, they're going to be a cocky. They're going to be, you know, but who cares? You're building a good business that's making a lot of money.
Yeah, I love it. Let's dive into this a little bit, because one of the things that I love about what you've done with Chirp in the automation, especially now that the availability to incorporate AI and learn better processes and rhythms, one of the things that's so important, and I'd love for you to talk about the rhythm and the tempo of what a good follow-up campaign should look like. Because there's lots of concepts on this, and clearly you guys are mastering this in real time as we go along with this. But what should a good sequence look like? Because that's always the biggest one why people are, I think one of the things is there's a lot of people that would do follow-up, they just don't know how, and nobody is really training what that should look like. What does it need to be? How many times, and how often, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, so this is an important thing, and the concept I'll kind of lay out here is really important to understand your market, because every market is a little bit different. What may work in California may not work in Florida. Mm-hmm. What may work, you know, and what may work for, you know, an older client base versus a younger client base, depending on, you know, so you have to know your market. We have all kinds of pre-built campaigns. It's really hard to say what works best, because again, it could work really well here and not work well here.
Yeah. So we do rural have rural town in middle America. Yep. Could be totally different than New York. Yep. City or LA.
Slower pace, you know, less competition.
Yeah.
They might get annoyed much easier with more aggressive follow-up. Yeah.
I mean, I see the same thing on the front end. You know, I've had this conversation with lots of people. I get asked a lot, how long should a sales appointment go? I'm like, the answer is it depends. You know, when I was selling in a town of 13,000 people out in the country, you could clock it dead on It was a 2 hour appointment, 2 hour 15 if we filled out financing paperwork. Moved to Austin. It's a 45 minute appointment, an hour dead on if we fill out financing paperwork. It didn't change anything other than the pace was different. And so it's kind of an example to bring it home for everybody of the differences. And there's no wrong answer. Again, it depends on who you're talking to and understanding buyer psychology.
So we do know on the front end, the first few days are critical. The first minute is extremely critical. So if somebody submits information, we have a minute to get to them.
Mm-hmm. Why is that important? Break that down for us. Talk to me like I'm in a kindergarten here with this stuff.
Sure. So Salesforce did a study over thousands of form fills, and this is actually this is years ago, so I know it's worse than it was when they did this study. Our attention spans have gotten worse with the introduction of social media, especially now Reels. All of our entertainment has to be condensed and much shorter. Everything is, our attention spans are terrible. If I fill out a form and I don't hear back from you in that first minute, my chance of converting drops in half by minute two. By minute three, I'm a fourth. And then between 3 and 30 minutes, I call that the danger zone, because you can still make money in that zone and you can be comfortable, and comfort kills businesses, mm-hmm. right? Because we can be in there, we can be going, okay, cool, we're good, while somebody else is quietly working in the background to be better than you and comes in and starts crushing you. And that's when you get crushed out. And so you look at it and you go, okay, instead of, you know, just like I said earlier, spending more money, let's see if I can shrink my time to contact these leads and increase my conversion rate. And maybe I go from converting 1 in 4 leads to converting 1 in 2 or whatever the number is. Mm-hmm. And now I'm paying half as much for a deal than I was before. And mm-hmm. now I can spend more money on marketing. So that first minute is key, because you think about it. I'm on my phone, and especially in like high demand, or like you think of things like you know, HVAC is a big one. Mm-hmm. Your air conditioner breaks in Phoenix, it's 120 degrees outside. It's like that lead's gonna convert. Mm-hmm. Right.
Oh yeah, no doubt. It's going with somebody in a real short amount of time.
Who's gonna be the first one? Yep. So I'm on Google, I submit my information on a form, or I call that lead, or I call the number, whatever it is, and for whatever reason, the company's not able to answer the phone right away, or I do submit the information. If I don't hear from you, I'm there. It's only a movement of my thumb to get to the next guy, mm-hmm. right? Just a slight scroll to see the next guy. And so we've seen it with abandoned calls. This is a big deal. You call a number, they don't answer. Okay, cool. Who's the next guy? I'm going to look. I have that time between the time they hung up the phone to where they click the next one to get their attention, to try to keep them from clicking. Mm-hmm. That's a very short amount of time. And so if we automate that, we miss the call. A text can go out in the next 20 to 30 seconds. Hey, I'm sorry we missed your call. We'd love to get you on the schedule to fix your air conditioner. Click here to book. Mm-hmm. That is enough to keep them from going to that next guy, right? Wow. They go, oh, okay, he's there. He's just busy. Mm-hmm. And really, they don't really want to talk on the phone anyways. So if they can just book,
sure, you know,
they can just click and book. Okay, cool. So
yeah, our society has such an opposition to speaking directly on the phone at this point. I mean, we do the same thing. Yeah. How many times our best friend call us and we'll wait till the phone stops ringing and text them back, hey, what's up?
Oh, dude. Yeah. If it can be resolved in a text message, do not call me.
100%. You called me without texting me first? What's wrong with you?
Right. Yeah. And it's only getting worse. As the younger generations who are just loaded with anxiety, they're loaded with social anxiety, they say that, you know, introvert, this word introvert, if you remember when we were kids, like the word introvert, it was like nobody said that. It was like a mental illness that you like heard about here and there. Mm-hmm. Now everybody's like, oh, I'm just introverted. You're like, yeah, everybody's
used to
cool
be this
with
negative
it.
Thing. Now they wear it.
It's really negative. Yeah. It's like, yeah, it's a badge of honor. Exactly. You're like, so all these people are now becoming homeowners. And so we have to adjust if we want to get their business. And so a lot of these guys, they just want to text. They want to get it done. They don't want to have to talk to somebody on the phone, get all nervous, feel like they're getting sold something. And so that first minute, super crucial. And then, of course, follow up for the next couple of days, multiple times that first day, and then a couple times over the next 2 days. So 3 days total is a pretty crucial time frame. And then you can decide after that if you want it to be more aggressive or less aggressive over like a 14-day period. We have a guy, he's like, my protocol in my business is we either reach them or we get a restraining order. Those are the two outcomes. Like, we're either going to get them on the phone or they're going to get a restraint. Like, he's extremely aggressive.
So we're obviously still talking about on the front end when a lead comes in before the appointment to get it booked.
Correct.
And
yeah.
Actually,
so like
convert.
we haven't even booked the job yet. Okay. Right. A lot of people will fill out forms and you never can get a hold of them.
100%.
Right?
Oh yeah. And I used to buy leads all the time for things. Yeah. And oh my gosh, the number of times and frequency you have to call them just to get the first contact.
Yep. Yep. So let's say you get 100 leads, and I'm going to use these are totally just like numbers I'm just pulling.
Yeah, yeah.
Pulling
use some generic numbers.
Let's just use 100. So let's say out of 100 leads, you're able to book 30 of those leads on that first call, right? Mm-hmm. Now you've got 70% of your leads that could or could not convert over time. And so if you're just doing the 30%, that's all you'll ever do. You'll never close more than that because you're only doing those 30%. Mm-hmm. If you just put in sequences to follow up, a simple follow up could bump that. You go, okay, I found that on the next day, if I text, 10% more of those leads will actually book an appointment. Now I went from 30 to 40%. Now I notice that if I go 3 days, another 5% will book. And now I'm just incrementally bumping my conversion rate from 30 to 50, 60, 70% because I'm doing these follow-up things. And then even all the way out, since it doesn't cost you anything or any time to follow up 3, 6, 12 months later. Hey, you reached out 6 months ago. I know you had needed some air conditioner work, but you know, just wanted to shoot it out there and just see if you're, oh, you know what? I do need to get that done. Or maybe it's something new, or, you know, it's like, we have guys they'll say, man, a 6 month text message will go out and I'll get a deal. Cause I, you know, and that's a lead that would have just disappeared and been gone forever had you not done that little extra step.
Here's a fun testimony story. I don't know if you've even heard this, probably not. So a couple of weeks ago in Boston, I held my event. There was the 3-day event up there. And there's a gentleman in the audience, Jonathan Neves, up at Green Energy Mechanical, who they're a CHIRP client. And I was talking about follow-up. We had a gentleman speak, Doug C. Brown, and he really went a 90-minute deep dive session into some of the importance of this and how it, you know, increases revenue for companies, et cetera. After that session, I challenged everybody. I was like, all right, how many deals can you close while we're at this event strictly through follow-up? And so what he did, he actually sorted last year, so that we're sitting in 2025. For everybody that's listening, you're here in this date of recording is May 29th, 2025. So he sorted 2024's data and popped one message through his CHIRP account and sorted just May through August. Sent one message to every unsold appointment. Four people immediately responded back. The very next day, he closed.
I've never seen this. I want to see this.
Yeah, the very next day, that one of those converted and closed at, I think it was $22,000.
$22,000 just sitting there.
Yeah, and it took him less than a minute to send the message. And the rest of those are now re-engaged, and they're having conversations with several more out of that one-minute exercise that he did.
I didn't know about this. I really want to see. That's really, really cool. But I look at your database and these leads that you're purchasing as gold mines, and you just need the tools to mine, right? And if you know how to mine them, you can find the gold. Mm-hmm. And it's just sitting there, and it doesn't take much. These are people that have expressed interest. That's like the most valuable thing, right? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, and it's as simple as using some automation to reach out and say, hey, you know, mm-hmm. you requested information. Do you are you still interested? And then go from there. So
there,
that's
there's
really
one
cool.
there's oh I love it. So that was a fun success story for you that
Yeah,
I
heck
didn't
yeah.
think you'd probably heard. One of
Yeah.
the things I want to talk about here is mindset, because on the front end, you know, salespeople traditionally, you know, we have this stories we tell ourselves are always the limiting factors here. And one of the and I used to get caught in this trap all the time, and until I really discovered the truth, is we have this preconceived idea that we go to an appointment, and if they don't buy from us, they bought from somebody else.
Right.
And so we think that, well, that they already went with somebody else, so there's no reason to follow up, et cetera, et cetera. But what we don't realize, it's such a small percentage of people that actually bought from anybody that what happens is, and I totally want to get your perspective on this because you probably know some better statistics around it. But at least what I've always said and thought is they get into decision overload. They get into analysis paralysis and don't do anything for the most part. And so other than the ones that say, you know, I specifically say, no, I went with this other company, for the lion's share of the rest of them, they haven't done anything. So what's your, do you have data around that? Do you have, I
not
totally want to get your opinion on this.
Not specific numbers, but the sentiment, the idea, the mindset is huge. You're basing decisions in your company on feelings, and that's going to screw you over big time, because basing your actions in your business on assumptions, assuming, oh, they don't, if they wanted it, they'd call me back, or you're not a data-driven company. And you're never going to scale your business. You'll always be stuck at where you're at. Because you can only do so much with the energy, the specific energy that you have on your own doing it that way.
Yeah.
And so you'll always think, why have we plateaued? Why are we stuck here? You're likely making decisions based on emotion and not data. And how do you get that data? You follow up until they say, no, I have gone with somebody else. That's the only way to get that data. It's the only way to actually know if they did go with somebody else. They're not going to call you and say, hey, guess what? I went with somebody else. They're never going to do that.
No, out of the blue. What?
Yeah. So you have to follow up until they either say, yes, let's do it, or no, I went with somebody else. Then you can say, okay, they went with somebody else. And by then, you've already increased your conversion rate because you're getting a bunch of deals on the people that didn't go with somebody else. But making, and I've had to learn this and relearn this at least 1,000 times in my entrepreneurial journey. Emotionally based decisions destroy companies. They keep you from being able to scale. They keep you from being able to grow. If you make things based on how you feel that day, you are going to never, you like I said, you'll always just kind of operate within that little bubble where some people, they're really good at it and they can make like decent livings and they go, I don't need to make any changes. I like how things are. And that's fine. They're always just grind. They're just going to grind away for the rest of their
good
life.
Good is the enemy of great.
Right. Good is the enemy of great. Exactly. To be great, though, you have to make data-driven decisions. And in sales, the only way to get that data is to ask for it by following up. And you'll see that your assumptions have been totally wrong. Just like you said, there are a ton of people who don't convert at that point. They're going to convert eventually, but they may have just gone, you know what? Let's hold off on that. Perfect example. I was going to buy flooring for my house. I was going to redo the carpet. And then I got a quote. And then the guy, I was like ready to go, and I was waiting for him to get back to me because I was super busy, whatever. And 3 weeks passed by, and I realized, I was like, wait a second, that guy never called me. But at that point, we had decided to move. We're not actually not going to do the floor. We're gonna move. we're selling the house. But had he followed up when I was in the right frame of mind, he could have totally changed my trajectory. And I would have said, yeah, let's do it, because I was ready to go. But I just kept, I had so many things going on that it never, you know, so he missed a total lay down sale just because I was too busy to do it. And had he just followed up, I would have said, "Oh yeah, we do. Yeah, we want to do this. We want to do it. Yes." And then I would have got, he would have got the deal. And then 3 weeks goes by. He recently reached out, and I'm like, "Oh yeah, we're not going to do it. We're going to move." And it's like he could have changed the whole trajectory of my future. I could have been like, "You know what? Since we're doing the floor, we're staying here. We're not moving." Who knows what could happen? But you just never know until you get that data. So
yeah, no doubt. I love this. I love this conversation because I think this is. We could talk about some verbiage and stuff here in a minute as well. But I think one of the reasons too, and I have so many ideas and questions that I love bouncing them off of experts like you. You know, a lot of the things that I've come up with over the years is partly intuition, and a lot of it is data from my own experience. But I think a lot of times the reason, and what Doug C. Brown was saying at the event, he was like, people, they've done studies, people expect a certain number of follow-ups from us. Including they want to hear a certain number of different of the want to be phone calls. They want it to be text messages. They want it to be these things. And we have these ideas and notions where, just like your experience, I've done the same thing and been ready to buy and then didn't over time. So the priority dropped. And so what happens is we buy a certain way, but when we get into the sales position and turn around and we're looking at it from the other's perspective, all of a sudden we think those same rules don't apply. And then we wonder why nobody converts when we don't treat our buyers the same way we buy. And so it's like these weird unwritten rules. And of course, one of my mission statements is like, I'm here to tell you that there are no rules. As long as we do things legally, morally, and ethically sound, everything else is literally on the table. And so I want to hear your kind of some thoughts around that.
Yeah. Let me gather that. I was thinking about the floor situation. So when we're consumers, we want to make sure that the people are working for our money.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we're on the other end, we want to put in the least amount of effort to make the money. It's this contrast, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody's going to be like this, but there are going to be people, a lot of people that are going to go, this is a $22,000 deal. I'm going to make this guy earn it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm going to make him work for this. How many times have you sent out an invoice and it doesn't get paid for like 3 days?
Yep.
Because that guy's going, I'm going to make him sweat a little
because
I want him to feel it. I want him to feel the importance of what I'm doing here.
Yeah, no doubt.
So you have to try to put yourself in the shoes of the buyer versus the seller. Well, we talked about it earlier. You're only thinking about HVAC. They're not thinking about HVAC at all. And so there's this battle that's happening between two human beings. And it's like this kind of like push and pull. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Until they finally go, okay. And they're going to make you work for it. They want you to work for it. They want to feel they worked hard for that money. They worked hard for that $22,000. They don't want to just give it away.
Mm-hmm.
They want to make sure, and they want, it's like when you go to buy a car, it's the same thing. You're like the sales guy that puts in, like goes the extra mile. You go, okay, cool. But if you walk up with a cigarette in your mouth, flick it, and like, okay, let's talk about, a car. Mm-hmm. It's like, dude, you're not getting my money.
Yeah. Like, what do we need to do to get you in the car today?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Right. So you have to put yourself in the shoes of the consumer. You don't want to. The best thing you can do is make it seem like you're on their side, guiding them through the transaction rather than the sales guy trying to get them to do something. So if you change your verbiage from, hey, I'm following up, that's just sales guy trying to close a deal. That's what that sounds like. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But if you switch over to, hey, I know you wanted to get that fence done. I know it's a big deal for you. I want to help you through this process. Let's get you going today. I want to show you some cool stuff. Let's get on a quick call. You're guiding them now through the process and kind of holding their hand. Because people want to be told by people they trust what to do. Right? I'm getting a fence done at my house right now. And I don't want to learn about fences. I don't want to know anything about them. I want a pro to say, this is what you need. I'm going to guide you through it. I'm going to make sure you get the best deal. Let me take over from here and guide them through. So instead of sales guy to sales guy to customer and this push, pull, push, pull, push, pull, move into, hey, I'm going to, let me take this off your plate. I'm going to get this done for you. Kind of take that, like, you know, guide approach. You've all heard the guide hero story. Make them the hero of the story. Oh, you're going to love this new fence. Your neighbors are going to absolutely love it. Your kids are going to be great. Your kids are going to love it. I'm going to take you through and make sure you get the best deal possible. Now you're making them the hero of the story. Oh, just imagine how good you're going to feel when you have this fence finally up, you know? So, yeah.
I love it. So we've talked about before the appointment, that booking. Let's dive into a little bit of after, you know, say we, you know, of course, you know, I train a 1-sit close, you know, most trainers train a 1-sit close, but also we know we have to almost be bipolar. We have to expect it every time, but also not be surprised if it doesn't happen, because plenty of people have a million reasons why right now is not the right time to buy. And there's an expression I heard, in fact, I'm going to start a whole series on timing, but there's an expression I heard a long, long time ago is the right thing at the wrong time is still the wrong thing.
Right.
And so let's talk about timing and that rhythm after the appointment a little bit.
So we've given them an invoice at this point, or an estimate.
Yep.
And they didn't close. They didn't sign up. And so you can either do one of two things. You can say, well, if they want it, they'll call me back. You're going to lose a ton of deals. Or you can follow up. And now you have to shift from remember, you're closing at the highest, everything you're doing, you're closing at the highest possible level of that stage of the customer journey. If we talk about digital marketing, I'm comparing this to digital marketing, so you can see when I do an ad on Facebook, the first goal of the ad is to get them to submit their email address or phone number. That's closing at the highest level, right? I'm not putting an ad out there that says, hey, buy my thing for $10,000.
Yeah, they're not clicking buy now,
right?
When there's a
right?
high
they're
ticket
clicking.
Offer like that.
So I'm closing at the highest level, which is, hey, the information I have for you is at least good enough for you to give me my phone, give me your phone number. Okay, cool. Now I got the phone number. What's the next thing? Okay, now I got to send them the video that explains it. And that video, the goal of the video is to get them to book an appointment. So I'm not trying to sell anything other than trying to get them to book an appointment.
Just
so if we
the
look
next
at
step.
The next step, we're closing at the highest level. So if you're looking at this journey and you go, okay, the first goal is just get my foot in the door. Get in and give them an estimate, right? I closed at the highest level. The next start is to get them to respond to the estimate and say yes. And this is, at this point, we are trying to close the deal. But you have to remember that at this point, they've probably had some sticker shock. They are now, you know, like, holy cow, I didn't think it was going to be this much money. Shoot, I've got to, like, consider all these different things, you know. And so now you're in a different mindset. They're before they're like, yeah, heck yeah, I want to get my fence done, or I want to get my air conditioner fixed or whatever. And then reality hits, hey, it's going to be $20,000. Oh shoot. And now it's like, okay, now you have to deal with husband, wife need to sit down and have a conversation. Are we doing this? Do we need to do this? Yes, of course.
Yeah, they got to talk about priorities. They got to find the money. They've got to, do we do this versus something else?
So you need to be sensitive to that situation, because it could be that the dude's like, yeah, heck yeah, let's do it. And the wife's like, no freaking way.
Yeah, she's like, there goes my new bathroom.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And so you have to empathize. You can't just come in and be like, it's just 20 grand. It's like, dude, that could mean a lot to a lot of people. And so you have to shift your mindset now and you move to, again, back to that guide situation, showing them how they're going to feel when this is done. Because the key is, we all make decisions based on our feelings. That's it. It all comes down to feeling. I feel really crappy about spending $20,000. Yeah, that sucks. Imagine how you'll feel when your house is perfectly, comfortable, every second of the day, it's perfectly comfortable. And you don't have to think about it ever again. Imagine how you'll feel. Obviously, you're not using those words, but that's the goal, is to get them to feel what they're going to feel when they're done. So
I love it. Yeah, this is beautiful, man. So let's talk, let's get a little more granular. Let's give some a bit more of what, because, you know, a lot of people have that listen and, you know, Chirp is growing like crazy and a lot more people are using it. However, it's still a, you know, a tiny fraction of the number of actual home service companies that are using Chirp right now. You know, itty bitty teeny tiny fraction. So there's a lot of people listening that, you know, they've heard, maybe heard the name Chirp, and if you haven't, now's your time. But tell us a bit more about, you know, truly what Chirp does with, and we've, you've made a really awesome video. So for everybody that's listening, I'm going to link the, there's a really cool little minute and 55 second, or minute and 50 second, basically it's almost TV commercial style that Ryan just made that explains this in super great detail in a real short amount of time. So I'll put that link in the show notes here so you can go watch it for yourself, everybody. But give us a, take us through what that talks about. Talk about what Chirp actually is and how the, how it's boots to the ground for the companies with the automations.
So we talked about gold mining, right? And so I sell shovels so that you can go out and mine, right? You still have to do the work, but I'm going to give you the tools that'll make it a lot easier to mine that gold. So,
and this is not a shortcut for having a crappy company, everybody. The tools we have on here, they're not an excuse to not do something else.
Yeah, I can tee up a good conversation for you. If you can't close a deal, I can't really help you. But the idea is, from the moment that a lead becomes a lead all the way through the customer journey, we are making sure that we are plugging every hole where a lead could escape the funnel, okay? Mm-hmm. So we don't do marketing. We're not on the marketing side. We're not generating leads for you, but we are helping you convert leads at a higher level. So we start at the beginning, speed to lead, right? Anywhere that a lead could fill out their information, abandoned calls, anything where, you know, short of somebody calling and you answering the phone, that's the best situation. Somebody calls, you answer the phone.
Sure.
That's the best situation. Short of that, everything else needs speed to lead. So we've got all our forms. We've got abandoned calls, people requesting information. We make sure that we contact them within that first minute with a text message, email, or ringless voicemail. Obviously, text being the highest converting. So we say, start with text. And we use AI at that point. You can choose between the two. You can say, I just want that first text to go out to start the conversation, then I'll finish it. Or you can use AI to actually have the conversation with the lead. And they do it. AI does a great job of, you'd just be blown away at how good AI can answer questions and guide them to book an appointment. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, imagine somebody calls, you miss the call because everybody's busy, everybody's on a phone call, nobody can answer it. Boom, they hang up, text goes out. Hey, so sorry I missed your call. I'd love to get you booked. Here's a link, you can book right here. Or do you have a specific question? If they book, great. If they have a question, AI can then guide them through and then invite them to book again. Mm-hmm. Then from there, if they don't book, we're then triggering a follow-up campaign, text messages, emails, voicemails, to follow up consistently to get them to convert. Mm-hmm. And if they convert to an estimate, we then are following up on the estimate. If they don't close, we're following up. If the estimate remains open, we're following up. And what's cool is this is all being triggered from your CRM. So whether you're HouseCall Pro, Jobber, ServiceTitan, any of these various CRMs, you're not having to change what you're doing. It's automatically happening. And so, like, if an estimate goes out and they don't close, Chirp recognizes that and we'll start following up. If they close, it'll stop following up, which is actually every bit as important as starting follow-up.
Yeah.
Because if I have a 10-day sequence and they convert at day 4, I don't want to keep following up.
Yeah, they're like, I already did this. What does the company not know what they're doing?
Especially if you offer, like, a progressive discount where it's like you closed them on day 4. I had guys that were like, hey, I was using this other system and I had a discount at day 5 that was 10% off. And on day four, I'd close a deal. And if I forgot to turn it off manually, they'd get that text message that offers 10% off. And now I have to retroactively give them a 10% discount because I offered it to them. So we follow up throughout the customer journey. We make sure that we are, any chance that they can escape this funnel, we're reaching out. Like I said, abandoned calls. We also have like financing pre-approval when somebody books. It's like, hey, thank you so much for booking with us. By the way, if you feel you might need financing, here's some really great options, and they can get pre-approved for financing before even getting the door, which is amazing. I mean, that's like order taking. At that point, you show up, they're already pre-approved. It's like boom. We have a really great campaign called the Owner Handshake. This is where if
Yeah, you mentioned that in your video. So I was it sparked my interest. I was like, what in the world is this? This sounds cool.
This is so Owner Handshake to me is something kind of near and dear to my heart. I love authentic business. And as an owner, as a small owner, it's much easier to be authentic with your customers because you're able to communicate with all of your customers. But as you scale, it becomes impossible. I can't communicate with all of the people that use Chirp. You can't communicate with everybody that, in your HVAC business or whatever. You can't, as you scale, you can't be that, you can't be the guy, when the customer's like, oh, I have my guy. That's my HVAC guy. Once you get past a certain level, you're now too busy. And so the way that I thought of this was the 45-minute video that I used to send out to sell my program. I thought, man, what if you did a short, like 1-minute video that introduced you as the owner of your company? And when somebody books, you send that to them. Because it'd be great if you could pick up the phone and call and say, hey, I'm the owner of Wasatch Heating and Air. Just wanted to say thank you so much for booking with us. It means a lot to me. I'm a family-owned business. I fully expect that my technician will give you 5-star service. If not, please reach out to me directly. That'd be great if you could call everyone. But what's the next best thing? A text message with a video of you saying the exact same thing. Thank you so much for booking. Now I'm the owner shaking your hand, basically saying, thank you so much for booking with us. Really appreciate it. Looking forward to working with you. And it just allows you to scale your authenticity as you grow your business. So that's one of many campaigns. We help you increase reviews by following up consistently with reviews, not just a random text message. Thank you so much for doing business with Wasatch Heating and Air. Please click here to leave a review. We've started the process at the beginning, kind of seeding the idea of a review. And then at the end, texting from the same number, same conversation. Thank you so much for letting our technicians come out today. We'd really appreciate it if you leave us a review. And then actually following up a couple of times to make sure that they actually do leave a review. Because a lot of people go, oh, yeah, I'll leave a review. And then they get distracted, they get busy. And then, of course, post-job follow-up. Help you maintain relationships with your customers throughout the year. Filter change reminders, occasional texts for, hey, it's fall. You may want to do this. You may want, little tips and
Hey,
tricks
fever
as.
season's coming. Have you ever considered turning your house into a sanctuary away from that? That type of stuff.
Not always trying to sell them something, just staying top of mind. So yeah, it's basically. The idea is that what you would be able to do as a one-man shop with one customer, how would you treat that one customer? You'd be regularly communicating all this stuff. Now we can do it at scale with thousands of customers.
Love this. So it sounds like then, if I'm hearing you right, we can truly build a campaign around just about anything if we want to have it after the. So I'm going to walk through a handful of scenarios and correct me if I'm wrong here, but say we. So of course on the front end we've got I've got that going on for conversion, but then after an appointment, you've got the campaigns for the ones that didn't sell to follow up to close. You've got the campaign for the ones that do sell. Here's what to expect between now and your installation.
100%.
And then, okay, so perfect. So now what happens is, we've got the review campaigns going out. We've got the, as the seasons change, we can reach into our data, say just their existing database. Hey, the season's changing. Are you ready? So we can talk about maybe our comfort club or some sort of maintenance plan for plumber or electrical or garage doors. I know Tommy Mello is one of their largest users. You know, garage doors, this huge opportunity there. So we can do that. We can run campaigns around, maybe our company works with this nonprofit and we're rallying our community to support this better. So a complete non-sales type of a thing. It's like, hey, join with us for this event we've got coming up. Let's help support the community. We really crafted around anything. Is that right?
100%. That's a really good point, because it's hard to get all of the information. I could say the top campaigns, but like customers come up with new ways to use it all the time. And so I usually only have a short amount of time to explain it. And they go, oh, okay, so it does this, this, and this. I say, yes, but it also does 1,000 other things, whatever you can think of. We can trigger things like, here's an example of one. You could say, all right, if somebody buys from me something greater than $10,000, like there's all these filters you can use, right? Mm-hmm. To say, all right, anytime somebody buys something greater than $10,000 from me, trigger a campaign that first sends a text message saying thank you for one, but then also triggers a Zapier trigger to tell this company that sends out gifts like a charcuterie board or you know, some, to automatically send out a charcuterie board with a thank you note to my customer. You know, there's a million different ways that once we have the filter, the trigger, we can tell it to do whatever we want it to do. Ooh, and beautiful. So you can come up with a million different ideas. I like, when you hear me talking, I tell the top ones: speed to lead, estimate follow-ups, you know, financing pre-approval, reviews. Those are like the big money makers. Mm-hmm. But there's a million other ones. And then we have our broadcast function, which is what you explained earlier, the guy that went back to his database and sent out messages. This is where you have all your automation set up and everything's working great. But if you go, hey, shoot, Thursday's a little bit light. I don't have anything on the board. I need to fill it up. I'm just going to pull up a list like this guy did, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to shoot out a message to 100 people. And it's going to send out that message. So you can shoot from the hip. You have all the automation set up and they're running and they're always just working for you. But you can also shoot from the hip and say, hey, shoot, Thursday's a little light. I got to fill up the board. I'm going to send out some messages.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I'm thinking of a million different ways that this could work. I mean, for example, there was just a couple of days ago, this massive hailstorm blasted the area here in Central Texas. And so...
Perfect.
You could, a roofer could absolutely crush.
Can you imagine?
Go crush the database.
Pull up everybody in a certain zip code and go, hey, we know that a lot of our customers were affected by this hailstorm. We want to make sure you're taken care of. Can we shoot out and take a quick look at your roof to make sure that you didn't, you know, get any damage?
Yeah. Click here. Get scheduled for your free inspection.
Boom. You know, and it's like, dude, that alone, you just use it for that. And it's like, boom, you just paid for trip for the next 10 years. You get like three roofs off of that. It's like, boom, $150,000, yeah, no, whatever it is, you know? So
I love it. Efficiency, yeah. Efficiency, yeah. And leverage in our, especially in our society right now, is everything.
Right. Right.
So here's the interesting question. I'm going to throw a little bit of a, cause I think I have a feel for what the answer is going to be. It's probably, yeah, absolutely. We can do that. But I'm been in the process for a good while. And so for everybody listening, we've got some partners now for some door knocking coaching programs. So door knocking is one I see as a huge opportunity because, you know, when you're door knocking, you can knock and the numbers hold true for everybody listening. Every 500 doors you knock, you're going to write $100,000 of business.
Right.
Period. That's just the statistics. So if a door knocking campaign happens and people are entering the data from the doors, well, door knocking has a lot of no-shows and those types of things. So sounds like the same thing. It's just another lead source. We enter into some campaigns. We can warm them up before the appointment, more likely to make the appointments, and then have the campaigns afterwards as well. So it doesn't really matter where the lead comes from, does it?
I try to beat this into people's heads because door knockers are funny. When we talked about sales guys being, you know, want the, they want the hot, the action, the, you know, Door knockers are the worst of that. Mm-hmm. They're the, and I don't want to say worst in a negative. That's not, they're really good salespeople, but they're the worst of wanting to follow up, right? Yeah. They're the guys that are like, nope, I'll just knock another
door. There's 1,000 more doors on this street. Yeah,
I'm just going to go.
Abundance is there.
And I say, imagine if I've knocked doors. I did pest control. We've all done our stints in the field. Right. And, imagine if you're knocking the door and the wife answers and she goes, oh, you know what? Yeah, but my husband's not home.
Yeah.
Come back after five. We are interested, right? How many times does that guy just go, I'm moving on to the next guy?
100%.
What if on his phone he has a form, and this is built into Chirp where you can build a form that just shows up on your phone with name, phone number, email, notes, whatever data you could put as many fields as you want to collect. Mm-hmm. And the sales guy could have that on his phone and he could just go, oh, you know what? No problem. Why don't I just follow up with you later? And she goes, okay, cool. Let me just get your phone number. Da-da-da-da. Okay. That's great. But the sales guy would have never followed up because he's going to just knock on doors. But now you have a lead that's in the system and it will get followed up. And then once that lead responds and said yes, you could then ping back your sales guy and say, hey, you have a hot lead here.
Mm-hmm.
And then take it back over.
Well, right? And you get the ability to send those awesome videos, the owner's handshake and all of the warm-up videos, create that living room effect between that moment and when they actually show up to get that awareness meter higher on the scale.
100%. Yep, yep. So I know, we haven't penetrated the door knocking community as well as we'd like, just because we've been so deep into HVAC, plumbing, electrical, garage mm-hmm. doors. Those aren't traditionally door knockers. But
I can make you some introductions. We'll fix that.
It's so powerful because it's like, dude, you're out there getting people. You're talking to people. Just get them in and then start following up, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think about it and I go, shoot. If I knock 10 doors and I have two conversations that get me a lead, like an appointment, okay, what if there's probably two that I could have got their phone number,
mm-hmm.
you know, and maybe out of those, they turn into another sale. So now I got three deals instead of two from my efforts.
Oh, so. I love this so much, man. We're going to have to talk offline because I'm working on some cool projects. Yeah. But this is so cool, man. So give everybody a, one, how do they get a hold of you? Because I know there's a lot of people listening that want to get in. Just like when we're considering ourselves, I know there's thousands of people listening that say, you know what, I've been meaning to reach out to them because I've been hearing good stuff about Chirp. And then life happens and fires happen in their business and it gets set aside. Yep. How do they get a hold of you?
Well, the best thing you can do is book a demo with us. That would be the first thing. But, you know, obviously you can go to the website, chiirp.com. We have a bunch of information there. You can book a demo. You can text us. You can call us. What we're going to do is we're going to get on a demo with you to walk you through all the different strategies that we can help you use to start making money. Mm-hmm. Our goal is that you have some serious ROI that first month. So you can look and say, yes, this has been worth getting involved because we're not a traditional software company. We're not backed by Silicon Valley investors where we're just like, get you in a contract and then disappear. I'm sure if you've ever dealt with software that you've dealt with that. We're very much a service-based, relationship-based company. We want you to succeed with Chirp and we work with you closely because this is not simple. Automation is not simple. We're experts at this. You're experts at whatever you do. We don't expect you to be experts at what we do, right? And so we say, hey, look, let's look at some campaigns that will work for your business right now. We will set them up. We'll get them going. And we walk you through it. We hold your hand through the whole process. And so we're basically like a consultative approach of like, hey, let's figure out what your business needs. Let's set up the campaigns. And then you get a customer success rep who then is incentivized for you to be successful because he gets busted if you cancel, you know, and but he gets incentivized if you stick around and you use. So he's going, hey, here's some other ways you can use it. Here's a cool thing to implement. Here's this or that. And he's always there. You can reach out and say, hey, I had this cool idea to do this. Just like you said, with the door knocking thing or the charcuterie board or whatever. You go, hey, I have this cool idea. Can this? And he goes, yep, let's figure it out. And then he figures out how to set that campaign up for you. And then you're off to the races with that. So you have somebody. We don't just say, here's your software. Good luck.
Yeah.
Like so book your demo.
Not to throw anybody under the bus, but some of the CRMs you mentioned, they're notorious for that. I mean, I've heard awful stories of people converting to these well-known CRMs that take over a year to get onboarded because their customer service is hideous. And there's entire companies that are built around helping people learn how to use these specific products. I'm like, talk about an opportunity here.
Yeah. Well, that comes down to the model. Like I said, the Silicon Valley model is you have hundreds of millions of dollars in funding to but you, what comes with that is what I hate Silicon Valley model is the success of a software company is how much money they've raised, where they're like, oh, we raised $100 million. It's like, did you make $100 million? No, we raised it. Like they believed in us enough to do that. And it's like, to me, that just like screams like, hey, you owe that. Now you owe that person $100 million. And so you're going to be under major pressure to get more contracts, get more people in the door, focus 100% on sell. And what ends up happening is you're not able to create as good of an experience because you're under so much pressure to sell at a certain rate.
Yeah, the bathtub's leaking faster than you can fill it at that point.
Exactly. That's perfect. Exactly. And so we didn't take that approach. I've bootstrapped this company from the ground up. I don't have to answer to any venture capitalist or anything. And so we've built it and we're scaling at a pace that allows us to offer really good customer support.
I love it. I think that's one of the reasons why I really resonated with you when we met and talked before, and you and Blake, and really have been looking forward to this conversation for a while, because we, I don't bring just everybody on the show, only people that I know that one have a quality product that do great work. So it's nice to connect to people, and you're right. Relationship is everything. Relationship B2B as well as B2C is just as important. So, so chirp.com, CHIIRP.com, book a demo is really the best thing for people to reach out to be able to get in touch and see what it's all about.
Yeah. And if you want to connect with me directly, I spend most of my time on Facebook. That's where I, you know, I don't go on many social platforms, just Facebook. Mm-hmm. So look me up, Ryan Fenn. And then you can email me at ryan@chirp.com. And so, reach out. If you don't want to be a Chirp customer, that's fine, but we should connect anyways. I'm here to serve the home service industry. So one way or another, connect with me. Hopefully get value from the posts I make. We have a lot of relationships, a lot of different companies, a lot of different ways that we're helping the industry, you know, create better systems and processes, not just Chirp. So,
yeah, for sure. So two other things I want to cover before we go real quick.
Sure.
One is I would love for you to talk a little bit about your podcast that I was on recently, because you guys are doing something really cool that is in direct alignment with what we believe here at Close It Now.
So, you came on the podcast. It's called Win Your Mind, Win Your Market. We are deep believers in focusing on the human before the business. I can teach you tactics or strategies, or somebody, you can listen to podcasts and learn how to do things. But it's the same. This will relate back to the door knocker, where you might have one door knocker who's crushing it, right? He's getting 10 pest control deals a day, 15 a day. And then you have another guy who's zero, and their pitch is exactly the same. And you're going, 100%. What the heck? This guy's getting zero deals. This guy's getting 15. What is going on? I'm saying the same words. At the end of the day, what it really comes down to is this guy's vibrating at a higher level. People immediately, that when they open the door, they connect with that guy before he even opens his mouth. Mm-hmm. And it's because he's vibrating at a higher level. His mindset is in a grateful, positive, authentic place, whereas this guy's in a fearful, scared, negative space, and that before a word is even uttered, the deal is crushed because you can't get past that negative thing. And the person goes, I couldn't really tell. It was just bad vibes, bad vibes, you know? And so the key to all of this, any of this, I say this with chirp won't work. Nothing is going to work if the person's mind is not in the right place.
Mm-hmm.
And so on the podcast, we talk about that. How do we increase our vibration in a positive way? How do we get people to like, and trust us before we even open our mouths? And this is all through being authentic, real people. You can't fake it. You're never going to be able to fake it.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are good at manipulating and lying and getting to a point to where they can make some good money, but it always catches up to them. They'll always fail eventually.
Right. They're going to hit the wall.
But if you create a business, you're going to hit a wall. But if you create a business, if you win your mind first, you become an authentic, good person, people will want to do business with you. 100%. And everything else will just be bonus, like chirp, all these different tools and stuff. It'll just add to what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. I love it. So, so one more time, name of the show.
Win Your Mind, Win Your Market.
And this we'll make sure we have the link in the show notes as well, everybody, because I highly recommend that podcast. It's very much in alignment with what we believe here. And last question for you. What is next? What is Ryan Finn really excited about? What are you obsessing over right now?
I'm going to sell Chirp and end up on the beach.
No,
just kidding. That's the immature mind speaking, right? The one that thought there's an end.
That's how you started the episode.
Right. Yeah, exactly, right? So there's no end to the entrepreneurial journey. Chirp is becoming more and more deeply ingrained in AI, and so who knows where that's going to take us as far as, you know, what more we can do. We're always just trying to figure out what's the next thing to implement. We weren't an AI company 5 years ago, right?
Sure.
We were a follow-up company, and now we're, you know. And so whatever comes along, whatever technology we can build on and continue to progress there, eventually the goal will be to partially exit from mm-hmm. Chirp and then focus on a higher purpose of educational. I do want to eventually, this is a dream of mine, but I have the company in the domain serviceuniversity.com, and I would like to eventually, I see this big shift where people are starting to see college as not the right thing for their kid.
Mm-hmm.
And they need an alternative that is trustworthy and actually provides good foundation. And so I'd like to eventually get to a point where I can teach, feel comfortable enough taking the responsibility of teaching somebody young that wants to be an entrepreneur. So I think it's a really big deal. I think it's a really big calling where it's like, I don't know that I'm quite ready for it, but I want to make sure that when I do that, I take that as a sacred responsibility, that I'm going to mm-hmm. take a young person and mold them. And so I'd like to create a really great environment, because I look at starting the windshield repair business, and even though that wasn't the business I'm currently in, it created a foundation for where I'm at now. And it's like, had I not done that, I wouldn't be here. And so I see that as my education. And like I said, I didn't go to college. I didn't finish high school, but I see that as creating the foundation. And so if within this, service university, they can come and maybe start a business that isn't necessarily a home run, but is a base hit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where they gain a foundation for how to run a business.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, cool, windshield repair or something like this. That's like a good starter entrepreneurial opportunity that, hey, maybe you do blow it up, but maybe it's not what you're doing in 5 years, but at least you're, you know, progressing.
Yeah. Get to flex that entrepreneurial muscle, so to speak.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
I love it, man. That's an awesome vision. I'm glad I asked. Because it's always cool to know the true heart of the guests that I have on, It's like, where are your passion projects? What really, you know, those things that spark those moments of true transformation for you and others. And so thanks for sharing. That's really, really encouraging to know that, you know, there are people like you in the world that, you know, have this vision for our society. It's cool to align with. So, man, thanks for being a guest on today. For everybody listening, I encourage you, go check out Chirp, chirp.com. The links will be in the show notes. Go listen to the podcast. It's a great one. Start with the episode I was on, of course. It was a good one. Or if you're tired of hearing me talk from this show, and Ryan has had some incredible guests on every single one. I love the focus. It's in working harder on yourself than you do on your business, and your business will follow. Your business
Yep,
can
that's right.
never grow bigger than where your mindset is and where your belief is.
That's
So,
right.
love it, man. Well, thanks for being on. Any parting words for everybody before we land this plane?
Parting words would be, you're a child of God. Make the most of your time. Don't waste it. And use that as confidence to say, hey, I don't need anything else other than that to just say, hey, if I'm a child of God, then what can't I do?
Yeah, if anyone can do it, anyone can do it.
Yep, that's right.
Love it, man. Well, awesome. Well, thanks for being on the show. Everybody listening, check out the liner notes or the show notes. Liner notes. I've been in music land with my brain lately. Liner notes is like, oh, open up the CD case and let's read the liner notes. Check out the show notes. All these links will be there. And until next time, everybody, you know how we end this. You go be someone worth buying from.
You've been listening to the Close It Now podcast. Our passion is to dive headfirst into the transformative movement that's reshaping the very foundation of HVAC and home improvement. And at the same time, covering fitness, nutrition, relationships, and personal growth. Proving that we can indeed have it all. We hope you've enjoyed the show. If you did, make sure to like, rate, and review. We'll be back soon, but in the meantime, find the website at closeitnow.net. Find us on Instagram at The Real Close It Now and on Facebook at Close It Now. See you next time.